what does it mean that whatsoever you've spoken in darkness is going to be heard in the light? And whatsoever you've spoken in the closet, whispered into somebody's ear in the closet, will be declared on the housetop. It will be declared openly. What does that mean? I think we have to we have to be aware of something when we look at passages like this. And listening to Pastor Rinaldo here, I'm thinking, why is it that he has what he has? Right? He has a certain gifts. He has fruit. He has leading of the Holy Spirit as he speaks. He has an anointing. Why is it that he has what he has? And it's because of this right here. Folks, whenever you approach the Scriptures, and this is what Pastor Rinaldo has, whenever you approach the Scriptures, whenever you approach a circumstance, whenever you approach another person, always approach with the heart of God. Never approach with a natural understanding, but always approach with the heart of God. That's not actually a negative saying there. Jesus didn't give negative sayings. He was teaching them, but he wasn't knocking the Pharisees so much here. What he's saying is the fruit will come out. That's all he's saying. Fruit will come out. But if I approach this, if I approach my life, if I approach any circumstance, if I approach the Word of God in general, apart from the heart of God, I will have never received anything from the Word of God. We have to learn this. This is something we believers, this is not natural to us. It's a learning process. That when you hear, when you read, when you pray, when you meditate, when you face something, always, absolutely always, through the heart of God. What happens if I take the word apart from the heart of God? Whether it's in the Bible or through a pulpit or just, you know, casual fellowship, you know, where, you know, we're fellowshipping around the word of God. What happens if I take the word of God apart from the heart of God? It'll puff me up. That's what'll happen. It'll puff me up. If I get the Word of God apart from the heart of God, I'll become puffed up. And at that point, I start using the Word of God as a bat, as a bully pulpit, as a judgmental tool. I say, I know this Scripture, you're not living up to it. I know this Scripture, I'm not living up to it, one way or another. And I'll start judging. I'll look at people's lives and I'll say, how do they measure up to the Scripture? Well, if I do that, I give nobody any hope. Because nobody measures up to the Scriptures. Okay, nobody measures up to the Scriptures. It's like, say, really what I'm saying by then is saying, how much are you Christ in His deity? Not even in His humanity, but in His deity. Because the Word of God was the name of Christ on the throne. Okay, Jesus was His name on earth. The Word of God is the name of Christ on the throne. And so I have to be careful in my own life, guard my heart against this one thing, that I not receive the Word apart from the God's heart. If I receive the Word apart from God's heart, I have not received the Word. Perhaps I've received the letter, but I have not received the Word. And you know, it's kind of interesting as we grow how this works in our lives. Because as a person grows, they want to be right with God. You know, they want to have a communion with Him. They want to have a fellowship. They want to be right with God. But the way that I get right with God is not by conforming myself to the letter. The way that I get right with God is by knowing His heart toward me. Right? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right? Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that transforms. David said, "Thy gentleness has made me great." Okay, so when we go about our lives, first and foremost, consider God's heart. So I'm listening here to Pastor Inaldo, and what am I hearing? I'm actually hearing God's heart. Okay, first and foremost, consider God's heart. That's key. That's paramount. Because apart from it, the best that I can do is judge. Use the word as some sort of a standard that no one can possibly live up to, including me. First and foremost, me. In Proverbs chapter 6, the number one thing that God hates, and there are things that God hates, is pride. But if I approach the Word of God or things in my life apart from the heart of God, I will approach them with pride. Because I won't have any other option. There's nothing. Those are my two options. Pride and humility, those are the two kingdoms. The manifestation of the two kingdoms are in pride and humility. So it's not just a good suggestion, it's imperative that if I'm to be a successful believer, that I approach it with God's heart. Now, does that mean that I don't study to show myself approved? No, of course it doesn't. Does that mean that I lack academic discipline in hearing? No, of course it doesn't. What it means is that with my academic discipline, I realize that the foundation of what is being given is the heart of God. And if I don't have that as my premise, then I don't have Christ in my circumstance, or in my study, or in my hearing. That must be my premise, is the heart of God. I've known a lot of amazing believers, and some of you guys have too. I know Pastor Arnaldo, you certainly have also. You've known the same people I've known. And these were people who were amazing. Pastor Stevens, amazing man of God. Pastor Scheller, amazing man of God. Pastor Shibeli, Pastor Love, Pastor Hadley. Okay, amazing. Pastor Cannon, there's another one. Amazing man of God. Many amazing, wonderful men of God have one thing in common: the heart of God. Pastor Wright, there's another one. Pastor Wright is an amazing example of a man who knows the heart of God. Okay, you have these people, and some of them are your teachers. But what makes them great is not that they know a lot. Right? Because you get the liberal theologians in the secular universities in their theological departments who will tell you all the reasons why you can't really trust the Gospels, even though they can spit them out chapter and verse. But at the same time, I've heard one say, it's the dumbest thing. He was like from Harvard or Princeton or one of these places. He said, well, you can only believe it if it's written in at least two of the books of the Gospels. Otherwise, don't rely on it as an accurate account. That was about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay? Very educated, very stupid. Okay? Education and wisdom don't go hand in hand, right? But this is what happens when I hear the Word of God apart from the heart of God. And even this, what I'm saying now, can be taken with just knowledge. It can. Even this can be taken with as just knowledge, more to feed my intellect. If that's all it is, you're wasting your time. Because if it's only my intellect, then I've done nothing more than give my natural mind more toys to play with. And that's useless. Right? But if I receive something with humility, and I don't lean on my own understanding with it, but I simply lean on the heart of God to reveal things to me, then I have something that has true eternal value. But if all I do is receive things apart from the heart of God, I'll never be able to be sustained in a life with God. I will eventually quit. Why? Because it's what you were talking about. It becomes another source of religion in my life, rather than a transforming, energizing power in my life. It'll drain rather than energize. So we have to be very careful that all things are mixed with the heart of God. Because remember, it's God who gave the word. Right? And in fact, as a man speaks in his heart, so is he. God is in his heart, as he says in his word. So what is the heart of God? Well, what are the names of God? There's one example. What is the fruit of the Spirit? There's another example. Okay, God said He is love. What is love? Well, Hebrews 13:4. There you go. Is unconditionality to it, and the first two characteristics are patience and kindness. I have to really guard my heart against receiving the word in any other way, and encountering circumstances in any other way, and thinking in any other way. When you talk to another believer, you cannot approach them according to the scriptures. You have to approach them according to God's heart. If you have somebody who's struggling, for example, or somebody who has need, or somebody just really, even if they don't, you're just talking to another person. You have to approach them with God's heart. Because otherwise, there's nothing to approach them with. God did not approach us with the law. The woman caught in adultery, the Pharisees who brought her to the Savior approached her with the law. They approached the Savior with the law, but the Savior approached her with His heart. And His heart was one of compassion and restoration. There was no compromise in it. He did, after all, tell her, go and sin no more. But not until He built her capacity and removed all her accusers and completely restored her. And only then did He give her any instruction whatsoever. But the heart of God is paramount. Apart from it, I have nothing. And I can have everything you can imagine. But apart from the heart of God, I have absolutely nothing. If I was to approach myself apart from the heart of God, I would get into the biggest works trip you could imagine. If I were to approach you apart from the heart of God, I would be very critical and judgmental. If I was supposed to approach the Word of God apart from the heart of God, I would get very puffed up. There's nothing good apart from the heart of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and everything else is a manifestation of love being played out. In other words, where it says that, in Galatians 5:22, where it goes into that, all the things that follow, the joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness, all that stuff, that is simply a manifestation, different manifestations, different flavors of the love of God. But the fruit, it's right there, it's singular fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the love of God. So if I have the heart of God, I'm approaching things with the fruit of the Spirit. Be careful about that. It's possible, and this is very common in believers. It's possible for us to think we know something when in fact we know nothing. The apostle said, Yeah, he said, if I think I know anything at all, I know nothing as I ought. Right, that was his own attitude toward himself, too. Not just telling us this. That was his own attitude toward himself. Yet, he said, if he could boast in the flesh, then he'd be pretty stinking well off. Because he was the disciple of Gamaliel. Because he was the Pharisee among Pharisees. Because he was the one who was unbelievably zealous. He was the one who was doing it. And yet he says that if he thinks he knows anything at all, he knows nothing. He knows absolutely nothing. Always, always approach first the heart of God. Always. If there's a question regarding doctrine, you're not sure, go to the heart of God to give you the answer. The heart of God is not the law. The heart of God is something that is not spelled out per se. The heart of God is something I learn as I get to know Him. When I learn of Him, what's He really talking about? Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, get to know my heart. If you're weary and heavy laden, get to know my heart. In all things, absolutely everything, approach with the heart of God. Because that is the only way I can even begin to get a single modicum of understanding. It doesn't come apart from God's heart. Nothing comes apart from God's heart. Why is that? Because I'm a believer. I've been purchased. I'm indwelled. I'm His possession. I'm His beloved. I'm both His child and His bride. Absolutely nothing comes apart from the heart of God for the believer. So folks, make sure that you keep that as in the forefront of your mind, the heart of God. Whether you're listening, whether you're reading, whether you're just thinking, whether you're out playing paintball, I don't care what it is. Make sure it is all first and foremost through the heart of God. And then you have something. But apart from that, you have nothing. Anyway, just a thought.